have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, a radio ministry of the Berean Call with T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for being here. In today's program, Tom welcomes author Ray Youngin to discuss the impact of the New Age movement on today's evangelical church. Now, along with his guest, here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. My guest for today's program, and the Lord willing, next week as well, is Ray Youngin. Ray is the author of, in my opinion, and others that I know, he's the author of some very valuable books regarding biblical discernment. In particular, adverse teachings and practices that have infected Christianity in our day. Ray, welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
You know, two of Ray's books that I want to discuss are A Time of Departing and For Many Shall Come in My Name. Now, you also have another book out, Ray, coming out soon, and hopefully it'll be available by the time this program is aired or released or whatever the cyber term, the cyberspace term is. Anyway, we have it in stock. Hopefully we'll have it in stock when you're hearing this program. We'll talk about that book in more detail next week. Ray, let's start with how you got started writing the books that you have.
Actually, Dave Hunt, you know, the one of the founders of the Berean Call, was instrumental in getting me into this work. It was back, in fact, this last month, January, was the 30th anniversary of my becoming a New Age researcher, anti-New Age researcher. And it was a seminar that Dave Hunt gave in April of 1984 in my hometown here that actually motivated me to become a researcher in this area. And originally in the 80s, I researched what you might call the secular or the general New Age. Mm-hmm. And I wrote For Many Shall Come in My Name in the late 80s, and the original version came out in 1990. And then in 94, I became aware, a youth pastor in one of the large local evangelical churches told me about a so-called prayer practice that was gaining popularity within the evangelical church. And I started to, you know, look into that probably around the summer or fall 1994. And I realized that there was a major phenomenon going on within evangelical Christianity. So I started to research that. And then in 2002, the book you mentioned, From Time of Departing, you know, was published. And I've continued research in this area ever since.
Mm-hmm. Now, the subtitle of your book, A Time of Departing, says, How Ancient Mystical Practices Are Uniting Christians with the World's Religions. Ray, explain that to us.
Okay, probably a lot of people don't even really know what mysticism is, but mm-hmm. in the context of what we're talking about, I'll try to explain it. I have some quotes here. Karl Rahner, was thought to be the brains behind Vatican II. He's a Catholic theologian. Mm-hmm. And he said, the Christian of the future will be a mystic, or he will not exist at all. Okay, another writer, Carl McColeman, who wrote the big book of Christian mysticism, says, in the future, all Christians will be mystics. We need to let go of the idea that some Christians are mystics while some are not. And, you know, some of your audience may be thinking, well, what do they mean by mystics? Mm-hmm. Well, the term used most commonly is called contemplative prayer or contemplative spirituality. And that's a very, very misleading title if you don't know what it actually means. Now, in the secular sense, the word contemplate means to think deeply on a subject. You know, it has a very benign connotation. But in the world of mysticism, it takes its root from a very ancient Latin word called contemplare, which is literally translated in the temple. And what that entailed was that you would have these augurs or soothsayers who would go into a temple of various deities. This is back, you know, in the pre-Christian era. They would go into these temples of various deities and would mystically commune with the deity that supposedly dwelled in that temple. So the word contemplare meant to actually engage the presence of a god or goddess within the temple. Right. And that stuck, concerning this so-called prayer practice. Mm-hmm. Well, what is that prayer practice?
Okay, well, Ray, before you go there, I'll just throw some things out here. You know, so it's experiential. It's not based on a doctrine or teaching, which is interesting outside of the scriptures.
Oh, certainly not. You know, and when I read you the next quote, you'll see that there's nothing in the Old or New Testament that even comes close to, you know, promoting this.
Yeah, because, well, in fact, the scriptures, the Word of God, talks about contemplation, which would be the same as when you phrased it as a secular understanding of the word. Well, that's also the biblical understanding. We think
things
through.
Yeah, the biblical understanding is to ponder, to think deeply. You know,
correct.
There's a stream of thoughts on one subject. You know, you're actually dwelling on the truth of what a particular passage in the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we're talking about. Newsweek magazine in 1992 did an article on talking to God. That was on the cover, talking to God, and it said, silence, appropriate body posture, and above all, now that's very important to get here, and above all, emptying the mind through repetition of prayer have been the practices of mystics in all the great world religions, and they form the basis of which most modern spiritual directors guide those who want to draw closer to God. And in the context of spiritual director, that is within Christendom or within, you know, the various Christian denominations.
Right.
And it didn't say some, it didn't say many, it said most modern spiritual directors,
right,
you know, teach this emptying the mind through repetition.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to add one more thing to that, when the Bible talks about, it doesn't talk about mysticism per se, but it talks about mystery. And
right. That's
true to the Word of God. But the mysteries are things that were not revealed earlier, but now are revealed today.
Right.
So that's the mystery. But you couldn't call it mysticism as you've described it, right, Ray?
Well, I may be jumping ahead here.
That's
but
right.
In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul talks about the mystery of iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
And the word in the Greek there is mysterion, where we get the word mysticism from. And it means to keep the mouth shut, which is exactly what the word occult means, hidden or kept secret. In other words, only for the initiated. So what we're dealing with here is actually something that has been not made known in centuries past to the general population. Only the initiates, the members of the mystery schools or various occult orders would have access to this type of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. So in the context of biblical Christianity, certainly things are revealed later, but they're revealed objectively, not experientially, which is, as our listeners follow us through this, they'll see huge difference, absolutely a huge difference between these two.
Oh, yes, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I should comment on this because they claim there are scriptural references, and one they use is in Psalms, and it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And you're probably very familiar with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what it means there is, you know, Israel is being threatened. You know, there's danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that be still means just to not become over-agitated.
Right.
It doesn't mean to empty the mind through repetition.
Correct.
It just means to calm down and relax.
That's right.
And know that God is in charge and that he will defend Israel.
Yeah, it involves patience as well.
Yeah, patience. So it has nothing to do with any type of mantra-type mystical practice.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ray, your book, A Time of Departing, well, actually both books deal with this, but give us a little information. You've been talking about mysticism in the church, primarily Catholic mystics, Desert Fathers, and so-called. But what about the New Age movement? Give us some understanding about that. The reason I'm asking is because I forget that we have young listeners. I'm talking about people in their 20s, maybe the late teens, 20s, who... New Age, well, what's that all about? But it was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge 3 decades ago.
Well, the term was huge 3 decades ago. Mm-hmm. The term was used extensively by, you know, people in this movement in the, you know, 60s and 70s. And it was a reference to the age of Aquarius, you know, from astrology, that we were leaving the age of Pisces and we were entering the Aquarian age, you know, age of Aquarius. And
mm-hmm.
There was even a pop song, I think in 1969, that was about that from the musical Hair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what many people think of when they hear that term Age of Aquarius. And a lot of writers use it kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know, as a reference to the 60s. Well, then in the early 80s, there was a number of books that came out, you know, Dave Hunt's Peace, Prosperity, and the Coming Holocaust, among them, mm-hmm. that kind of alerted the evangelical community to what was going on, that there was a mystical revolution that was starting to really gain momentum. And, of course, these Christian writers used the term New Age Movement.
Mm-hmm.
And that became embedded in the thoughts of evangelical readers, you know, of these books.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Shirley MacLaine at that time was kind of like the icon of that movement. She had written a couple of books, and they had become very popular and sold millions of copies, and she became kind of like a figurehead. And amongst a lot of more conventional people, they started to make fun of that term. You know, Johnny Carson, you know, people like that. They would mock reincarnation and the idea of channeling, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was the people in the movement shed that title. And it was never an official title. It was never like the Watchtower Society or Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints. It was never official. It was always a slang term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was always an informal just term. So what happened was once they shed that, they saw it as kind of something that crippled them in the eyes of the public, and they replaced it with the term spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And since people like us, we don't like to refer to them as being spiritual, we were always stuck using that term New Age Movement because that's what we knew it as.
Right.
But what happened was it literally exploded. It literally went mainstream. And here's a good example of what I'm talking about. In 1984, when I first started researching, do you remember B. Dalton? They were always in malls.
Right.
B. Dalton,
mm-hmm.
bookstores.
Bookstores, yeah.
Yeah, well, anyhow, B. Dalton bookstore in the local mall here, their New Age section was five shelves, 1984. And the title was Astrology / Occult. And there were five shelves, and the top two shelves were just mainly astrology, and the bottom two shelves, you know, was more or less occultic type books. And they all had that look of being published in somebody's garage. You know, they all had that seedy kind of a fly-by-night look about them. Well, fast forward to the late 90s and the 2000s, at Borders Bookstore, before they went out of business, the local one here, their New Age section, which is called Metaphysics, had ballooned to 65 shelves.
Mm-hmm.
65 shelves. And in Eugene, in the Borders there, their metaphysical and New Age, I mean, Eastern religious section was 90 shelves. So you can see there was a major explosion. Okay,
right.
It gets, let me illustrate even further. Baylor University, you know, a Baptist university in Texas, did a national religious survey, I think in 2007, and they found up to 26 million American adults saw God as a quote-unquote cosmic force, which is basically what New Age spirituality is. Now, that is more adherence than there are Methodists, Episcopalians, Lutherans, and Presbyterians put together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, massive number of people. Okay, there's, you know, like there's various denominations in this movement. On the internet, there's a Wiccan website. Wicca is just one of the denominations. And there's a Wiccan website called The Witch's Voice. And it's just basically everything you want to know about becoming, you know, a Wiccan or witch. They came online in 1997. Since then, that website has gotten 476 million hits,
wow.
Nearly half a billion hits just on that one website. So as you can see, you know, that term New Age has went the way of the, you know, the dinosaurs. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's no longer used. So everybody out there who is active in New Age spirituality will never, ever use that term.
Right.
And we only use it because that's what we know it as, and we don't want to honor them with the referring to them as being quote unquote spiritual.
You know, yeah.
But this movement, from what I've just told you, I could go on and on and on. You know,
well, Ray, let me add to it. Dave and I did a book called America: The Sorcerer's New Apprentice, which dealt with the New Age movement. Now, what was interesting about that, this was early on when, as you said, the term New Age was really popular. But we saw the same thing as you did, and our publisher, Harvest House, saw the same thing. So later, years later, they changed the title of the book to The New Spirituality. Now, the goal for Dave and me in this book was to make a book dealing with all of the elements related to the New Age movement, as it were. But our thinking was, wait a minute, this is for Christians to give to their friends and neighbors and so on to explain to them what the New Age movement was about. And the heart of it was the perennial wisdom. This is Eastern
right.
mysticism.
Yeah, the perennial wisdom, yeah.
Yeah, in which there were other books, other leaders out there who were really heavy into this, so the so-called scholars of this movement and so on. So, but all we wanted to do with this book is get it in the hands of Christians so they would understand what their friends and wasn't a big thing at that time, but it was some Christians were getting involved, but it was mainly their friends who were not believers of Christians. So we wanted to inform them what this was about and so on. But the title, the new title that Harvest House came up with was The New Spirituality, which is consistent with what you've just been saying. This is where it is. And it is the perennial wisdom, also called the Eastern mysticism, or a view of the universe, the cosmos, its metaphysics, but it was also pantheism. That is, God
right.
is all. God is in everything. Everything is God, or pantheism.
That is exactly. You just defined what the perennial philosophy is. You know, perennial means it's always been around. You know, it's always been there, like perennial mm-hmm. plant never loses its leaves or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyhow, you explained it exactly, that God is within everyone. In fact, you've heard of Louise Hay, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, she has her own publishing company called Hay House, and they have sold 250 million books.
Right.
250 million. I mean, that's almost the population of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And their motto, they have their logo, you know, and underneath it says Hay House, and underneath it says, look within.
Right.
Look within, because that is, like I said, there's all these different denominations. There's Wicca, there's, you know, Hinduism, there's Buddhism, there's shamanism, there's self-help, your Wayne Dyers and your Marianne Williamsons, and there's just this, and then there's your
Oprah Winfrey's.
Yeah, your Oprah Winfrey's, you know.
Right.
And there's she was a major figure. We could do a whole show just on her, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
Anyhow, there's all these different approaches, but the main component is that God is within. And not just, this isn't, I want to make this really clear to your listeners that, you know, they might say, how can anybody believe that, you know, they're God?
Yeah.
Well, that's where the mystical element comes in. Mm-hmm. They don't believe they're God. They feel like they're God because they open themselves up to, you know, supernatural forces. Can I read a quote?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, this is important to understand when you're talking about this view that God is within. Okay, this is from my book, For Many Shall Come in My Name, and I have three quotes here from various sources. Meditation is the doorway between worlds, the pathway between dimensions. Okay, another quote is, meditation is the key, the indispensable key to the highest states of awareness. And the next one is, meditation is a key ingredient. This is quotes, this isn't me. Meditation is a key ingredient to metaphysics, as it is the single most important act in a metaphysician's life. Now why is that? You know, okay, here's another quote. This is from a woman who did meditation. And by meditation, we're not talking about the biblical or secular term where you're just kind of thinking about a subject or dwelling on a subject. This type of meditation is radically the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she says, one starts by silencing the mind. For many, this is not easy. So you can see right off the bat that by meditation, she means something the polar opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But when the mind has become silent and still, it is then possible for the divine force to descend and enter into the receptive individual. First, it trickles in, and later it comes in waves. It is both transforming and cleansing, and it is through this force that divine transformation will be achieved. So your listeners out there, they have to understand that when these people say that they're God, that God is within, It's not like being a Democrat or Republican or a liberal or conservative or whatever. It's not intellectual. They have been possessed by a supernatural force.
Right.
And this is going on a vast scale all over the Western world.
See,
this is becoming very commonplace, and that's why, you know, radio programs like this are so vital, because there has to be a warning given that this is not just a bunch of, like, silly, kooky people that just think they're God.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ray, let me add to that. You're talking about, and we've both been discussing, a view, Eastern mystical view, being promoted in the world. But as you're aware, when Dave and I had the privilege of helping Dave with the Seduction of Christianity, we dealt with these ideas coming into the church. For example,
right.
You know, Rodney R. Romney, a senior pastor of church in Seattle, you know, wrote a book, God Within, that they were promoting this idea. And then the Word Faith teachers were teaching that we were little gods under God.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're seeing across the board, not just the world, not just the Eastern mystics, not just the religions of Hinduism, Buddhism, and so on, as you described, but we're talking about this idea, this concept, which is right out of Genesis. Genesis chapter, you know, chapter 3, verse 1, you will be, or, you know, 1 through 3, you will be as gods. So,
I know, it's incredible that in the evangelical church, this is sweeping through the evangelical church, not just through the contemplative prayer avenue, but also through things like yoga. You know,
right.
I was speaking at a conservative evangelical college once, and I was talking about yoga, and this girl, young girl, probably about 19 or 20 or so, sitting in front of me, rolls her eyes like, and like, oh, come on, give me a break. You know, how come you're, you know, there's nothing wrong with yoga. You know, yoga is just exercise. It's just stretching.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a variety of avenues. You know, they can go to a doctor or whatever, and the doctor will prescribe meditation as something that will reduce stress in their life.
Yeah.
Just creativity. You know, there's a book out called The Artist's Way, about how to become a more creative artist through meditation and getting involved with your inner divinity. Just yesterday, I saw a book on weight loss, you know, how to become thin through connecting with your higher self or inner divinity. It's just everywhere. And unless you know, there's even a book on menopause and, you know, how to go through menopause by using, you know, metaphysics.
Right. Ray, we're about out of time for this segment of our program. We'll pick up with this next week. But I do want to talk specifically about yoga because of its growth, its incredible growth, and then its the church being used as places where they're teaching yoga right in the sanctuaries, maybe not on a Sunday morning, but certainly for
A lot of churches have yoga classes now.
Right.
Some refer to it as like holy yoga or something
right.
like that. But
right. So we're going to get with that, get on to that next week. In the meantime, I just want to say to our listeners, I'm speaking with Ray Youngen, the author of A Time of Departing and For Many Shall Come in My Name. And we'll talk about a new book that he's working on that hopefully is out as you hear this. We're certainly recording this much in advance of the release date, but we'll talk about that book next week. So, Ray, I appreciate what you've said. I think it's really important for the body of Christ to hear these things and for people like you who are taking the time, how important it is to research these things, to bring it before the body of Christ, to inform them. Now, look, folks, you've got to make up your own mind about this. The name of the program is Search the Scriptures 24/7. What we're talking about, you need to hold up to the Scriptures and see if these things be so. So, again, Ray, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to
our
next program.
My pleasure.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7 with T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. We offer a wide variety of resources to help you in your study of God's Word. For a complete list of materials and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at thebereancall.org. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you can tune in again next week. Until then, we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.